Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today we continue to study, I believe, to be one of the most astounding prophecies in all of the Bible. Prophecy deals with many subjects, and the primary subject of biblical prophecy is the person, coming, and work of Messiah. And we were discussing last time on this broadcast about prophecy specifically concerning the specific time when the Messiah would come. God in His mercy and grace to Israel and to all peoples gave us the exact time when the Messiah would come. This was done for several reasons, and there are many we can't go into detail here now. But one main reason was so that Israel could properly identify when the real Messiah would come. That's important when you remember that the history of ancient Israel was plagued with false prophets and false messiahs claiming that they were sent by God. And one of the reasons the Lord gives this prophecy about the specific time when the Messiah would come was to validate this person as the real and true Messiah, and at the same time disprove that all the others were false and counterfeit. And what prophecy am I referring to where we have it pinpointed down to the very year when the Messiah would come? Well, as you know, we find this in the 70 weeks of years prophecy in Daniel 9, and we were looking in verses 24 through 26, and we discovered that these 69 weeks, now there's a total of 70 weeks, but we are only dealing with the 69 weeks up to the very coming, the first coming of Messiah Jesus. And we discovered in these 69 weeks of prophecy that each week stands for a unit of 7 years. In the Hebrew, that is called heptad. Heptad, or I believe it's in the Greek that's called heptad. And just as a decade, the word decade signifies a unit of 10 years, so heptad in the Jewish mind signifies a unit or period of 7 years. So, 69 times 7, how many years would that be? Each week being a period of 7 years each. That would be 483 years. That is the time period laid out here. From the beginning to the end resulting in the coming of the Messiah. And we discovered, furthermore, in Daniel 9, 24 through 26, that the beginning of the countdown to the coming of the Messiah. That's really what the 69 weeks of years is. It's the prophetic countdown to the coming of the Messiah. That is His first coming. When would this countdown begin? Well, it would begin when Israel was allowed by a monarch or a king to return to the land of Israel and rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And once that decree was issued by a king allowing the Jews to do these things, rebuild Jerusalem and the temple, that would be the beginning of the countdown. The 69 weeks of years would begin with that. And it most certainly did. We are told here in verse 24 of Daniel 9, 70 weeks, that would be a total of 490 years, are determined for your people and for your holy city. Then, in verse 25, it says, "Know therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That is a 49-year period right there. The 62 weeks would follow after the decree allowing the Jews to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. That took them around 49 years to do under the leadership of Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, and Ezra. Once that was done, that would leave 62 weeks or 434 more years for a total of 483 years to the first advent of Messiah. That's what verse 26 tells us. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. So the Messiah will be cut off. 49 years from the 69 weeks would pass. That would be 7 weeks. Or 49 years, 7 times 7. After that period of time, then there would only be 62 weeks until the coming of the Messiah. 434 years left, which is what's indicated in the opening of verse 26 of Daniel 9. Then after that period of time, giving us a total of 483 years, the Messiah would come. And so we start the countdown for the coming of the Messiah when the Jews are given a decree allowing them to return to the land of Israel, rebuild the streets of Jerusalem and the temple itself. And I believe we told you last time that this formally began with the decree of King Artaxerxes in March of 445 BC. That began the countdown of the 483 years, or 69 weeks of years, to Messiah's coming. And the premier scholar who did an excellent work on showing how these 483 years lead and end with the coming of Jesus the Messiah would be Sir Robert Anderson, former police chief investigator of Scotland Yard. He wrote a book devoted to explaining and analyzing this great prophecy of countdown to the coming of Messiah. He wrote a book on the coming prince given in Daniel 9:24 through 27. Here's what he says about the completion of the 483 years, or 69 weeks of Daniel, which concluded with the coming of Jesus the Messiah. He says this. Anderson figured out that the period of the 69 weeks of years, or 483 years, began and ended with the coming of Jesus. He says, March 14th, 444 BC, the date of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. This is what Daniel tells us. And the prophet ends the period with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which Sir Robert Anderson believes was the official presentation of Messiah as Prince to Israel. And he gives the scripture references, Zechariah 9:9 with Luke 19:38-40. After careful investigation and consultation with noted astronomers, Sir Robert Anderson gives these startling findings. From 444 BC to 32 AD is 476 years, or 476 times 365 is 173,740 days from March 14th to April 6th, the day of Christ's triumphal entry. Then, when you factor in leap years, 160 days for leap years, March 14th to April 6th is, what, 24 extra days. But when you factor in 116 days for leap years, you get a total of 173,880 days. That totals out to a period of 483 years. Since the prophetic year of the Bible is always 360 days, reflecting the Jewish annual calendar, the 69 sevens of this prophecy in Daniel, 69 times 7 times 360, is 173,880 days, which totals to 483 years. And so the time given by Daniel from the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem to Messiah Prince comes out perfectly to the very day. And so that's, I know that's a lot to take in. Again, if you want a detailed and full explanation of this great prophecy, I refer you to our website, www.searchthescripturesonline.org, and we have a full-blown study of Daniel's 70 weeks of years prophecy. I believe it's entitled Countdown to Messiah. But the point is here that the 483 years, the starting point beginning when the Jews returned to Jerusalem to rebuild that city and the temple, to the Messiah's triumphal entry into Jerusalem and then being cut off in his death by crucifixion, is exactly 483 years when you factor in leap years, the lunar calendar of the Jewish people and so forth. It comes out to 483 years, which in days is 173,880 days. So this prophecy is fulfilled in a most amazing way, down to the very last day when the Messiah was supposed to come. No other person fulfills this prophecy. No other person was born at the right time and died at the right time. No other person but Jesus of Nazareth. Daniel's prophecy here is a detailed manual, a specific time indicator pointing to the exact year. One could argue to the down to the exact week and day when the Messiah would come, after the decree was given for the Jewish people to return to restore and build Jerusalem and the temple, which occurred, as we've discovered, in 444 B.C. by the decree of King Artaxerxes, the Persian king. So this fulfillment points infallibly, without error, to Jesus of Nazareth, who was Messiah the Prince, cut off. That word cut off in Hebrew denotes a violent death. He was cut off. He was crucified. But not for himself, as Daniel tells us. But not for himself. That's because the Messiah died for sinners. The Messiah died for sinners. When Jesus began his public ministry, remember what he said. He said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And remember what also the Apostle Paul said about the first coming of Jesus the Messiah. He said, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son." And no doubt, perhaps Paul was thinking of Daniel's 69 weeks of years running their course and finding their fulfillment in the coming of the Messiah. This is a prophecy that undeniably points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Messiah then must be born at the same time. It could have been any century, in any year, but with absolute certainty, the exact year, the very month of a notable event in his life is foretold. So, again, theoretically, the Messiah, the nation of Israel expected the Messiah to come at any time. Yet, the prophecy of Daniel 9, verses 24 through 26, indicates it had to be a certain time when this 483-year period would begin. And it would end with the appearing of the Messiah and his subsequent death. And again, the only time period this could be fulfilled is when the Jewish people were allowed to return from exile in Babylon to rebuild the streets of Jerusalem and the temple. Once that decree was given, then faithful Jews who knew their Bible, who knew this prophecy about the Messiah's coming in Daniel 9, could then calculate 69 weeks of years, which translates into 483 years, and they could wait for the Messiah's coming. And they did not wait in vain, because at the end of the 69 weeks of years, at the end of the 483-year period, at the conclusion of Daniel's 69th week of years, the Messiah did come. He was cut off by crucifixion. He died to save sinners. And that fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy is the infallible stamp of approval that from God that this was the Messiah. And who was that person? Of course, it was Jesus. And so we have come to the point of showing our listeners how that prophecies concerning the Messiah's preexistence, his genealogy, and the specific time he was supposed to come. We have all shown that the accuracy of these prophecies in minute detail collectively are fulfilled and by their force unmistakably point to only one candidate who could be the Messiah, and that is Jesus of Nazareth. He alone fulfills all specifications as to Messiah's lineage, his birthplace, and the time of his birth. This is further reinforced by what Daniel goes on to say after the Messiah was to be cut off at the end of the 69th week, or the 483 period, serving as a countdown to Messiah's coming. And that would be that the temple would be destroyed, in, as we are told in Daniel 9:26, and that's exactly what happened 40 years after the Lord Jesus was crucified. For within that generation, the generation who saw the coming of Jesus, witnessed his sufferings and death on the cross, it was that same generation that was 40 years later to witness the temple's total destruction. The Jewish priesthood ceased to exist, and the sacrifices were no longer offered, and the Jews' genealogical records that were stored in the temple were destroyed in the great fire that the Roman soldiers set. Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Jewish people were driven out of their land, most of them either killed or sold into slavery. These dreadful judgments on the nation for their rejection of Messiah Jesus make it totally impossible for a Messiah to come after that, because the time period for his coming, as specified in Daniel's 69 weeks of years, had already come and gone. So anybody claiming to be the Messiah after that 483 time period expired, or we could even say before it expired as well, could not be the Messiah. He would have to be, obviously, a counterfeit. It is simple as that. So, let us give, once again, a review of what we have discovered in this great prophecy given in Daniel 9, 24 through 26 about the specific time the Messiah would come. Daniel's prophecy makes it plain that the Messiah had to come 483 years after a specific date given in Daniel's time, a prophecy given by Daniel 500 years before the birth of Jesus. This prophecy of 483 years, that period would start with a decree to allow the Jews to return to Jerusalem, rebuild the city and its temple. That occurred in 444 BC, some say 445, when King Artaxerxes issued a decree allowing Jews who were in exile in Babylon and Persia to return to their land, rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. That began the countdown to Messiah's coming. And 483 years later, after that event, Yeshua had come, made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and then he was cut off by crucifixion. And that ended the 69 weeks of years given in Daniel, or the 483-year period. And then after that, there's a gap between Daniel's 69th week and 70th week. In the 70th week, we have countdown to Messiah's second coming. That last week of Daniel's weeks of years prophecy, the 70th week, it will be a 7-year period, will begin when Israel signs a covenant with the Antichrist and he brokers a peace covenant between Israel and her enemies. He will break that covenant in the middle 3.5 years into the 7-year treaty. He will go into the rebuilt temple of Jerusalem, cause the animal sacrifices to cease, set up an image of himself, and demand the Jews worship him as God in person. They will reject that. That event is called the Abomination of Desolation, which Daniel talks about in Daniel 9:27. Jesus mentions it in Matthew 24:15. Paul talks about it in 2 Thessalonians 2. And John mentions it in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. But our focus here is that the first 69 weeks of years of Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus the Messiah. Now let's move on to other specific prophecies about the Messiah. There's several prophecies that detailed the place he would be born. We know he would be born in Israel. We know he would be Jewish because his genealogy that was foretold in the Old Testament is thoroughly Jewish, beginning with Abraham, the first Hebrew, and the founding father of the Jewish people. So let's look at places where the Messiah would be born. The Scripture tells us that the Messiah would be born and start his ministry in Israel, that he would also be called out of Egypt. Again, when you look at these prophecies, you see several different locations from where the Messiah was to come out from. And we're going to get into these prophecies in detail in a minute. One prophecy says in Micah, he would come from Bethlehem. Yet Hosea says God would call his son out of Egypt. Yet Isaiah says that the light of Messiah's glory would first shine in Galilee. So which is it? Now on the surface they would seem to contradict one another. But this is these different locations for where the Messiah was to come from and do God's ministry. This is another instance of the beautiful and perfect plan of God seen in these prophecies, informing us the place of our Lord's birth as well as its time. These are all intricate and yet marvelously fulfilled in every detail without contradiction by the birth and coming of the Messiah. So in these prophecies about the place of Messiah's birth, we have an involved series of predictions. Each prophecy tells us Messiah would come forth or appear in Bethlehem, Egypt, Nazareth, and Galilee. Well, let's look at the first prediction. The first prediction says that the Messiah's radiant glory, meaning His presence, would appear in Galilee. Isaiah 9:6 is where we find this prophecy. Let us go here and read. That prophecy is about how the Messiah would be divine and He would be called several titles denoting that He is not only human but divine. That's Isaiah 9:6. Actually, prophecy that Messiah would appear in Galilee is Isaiah. It's the same chapter, but it's Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. There we read, Isaiah says, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Here we have a prophecy telling us, Isaiah is telling us, that the light of Messiah's glory, His presence, that is, will appear first in Galilee. Now, the prophet here mentions that these regions of Galilee, mentioned by the two tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel, Zebulun and Naphtali, that they were first or more heavily oppressed. This is in reference to the fact that the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, who lived in northern Galilee, specifically on the northern border in northeast Galilee, west of the Jordan River, were the first to suffer the oppressive invasion by the Assyrian king. That's found in 2 Kings 15:29. This marked the beginning of dark days for this region in Israel. And it was there that the Assyrians oppressed the Jews more than any other place in Israel. Yet, God remembered their oppression. He remembered their hopelessness. And in remembering that, He would send the Messiah there first. And His light, the light of His glorious presence, Messiah's glorious presence, would alleviate, transform, and deliver these people from gloom and the despair of death into the hope of life and revival in the illuminating presence of the Messiah. Now, when was this prophecy fulfilled? It was fulfilled when the Lord Jesus began His ministry, when He officially and formally began His ministry as the Messiah. He began it in Galilee. Jesus was raised in Galilee, in the city of Nazareth. And He was called the Galilean. Several times Jesus is called Jesus the Galilean. Matthew quotes Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. As a direct fulfillment of this prophecy, when Jesus of Nazareth began His ministry in the very region of Galilee where the tribes of Naphtali, and Zebulun lived. Let's go to Matthew 4. Starting in verse 13, Jesus begins His ministry where? Well, according to Messianic prophecy given in Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, it would have to begin in Galilee. If He was the real and true Messiah, His ministry would begin in the land and region of Galilee where the two tribes of Israel, Naphtali and Zebulun, lived, because that's the place where God allotted them the land to live in. Matthew 4:13, talking about Jesus. "And leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, And then he goes on to say, as Matthew goes on to say, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. And he quotes Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. We'll get more into this in the next teaching session. We're out of time now. But until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.